everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GabPod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was recorded on September 15th, 2016. Without further ado, here's episode 12 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We're here in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump Hotel. $500+ a night. You can also order hipster fries and wine by the tablespoon. Did you see that?
I did. You can have it by the gulp, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. They're not. That's not huge servings, but, you know, it'll do.
All right. That's enough.
You know, you want to start with that Donald Trump Hotel every time. We're going to end up with some bad puns in there.
It's horrible.
Yeah. So I... another big
week. Need to timestamp this.
Okay.
It is Thursday, September 15th in the 6 p.m. hour.
Yes.
So between now and when this is released, there will be at least one more tweet and or gaffe about the Holocaust from one of the two camps currently running for the president of the United States.
Yes, and we can get to that later.
All right, we will.
But first, we'll go to the stuff that happened pretty soon after we put up this last one.
Yeah.
As is always the case. And this week, the big thing, one of the big things, is actually from the Hillary Clinton camp, which we usually don't talk about as much about. But yeah. So Hillary
Clinton. Will this be our first Hillary-dominated episode? I think it will be.
Be grossly generalistic. You can put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. But that other basket of people are people who feel the government has let them down, the economy has let them down, nobody cares about them.
There's a second basket, but nobody reported about it, so I guess we don't have to
talk
about
it. That's not true. That's not true at all. Everyone did report about it initially, but everyone knows that it's cheaper to have talking heads to come out and discuss it.
Of course.
That being said, do you think it was intentional?
I mean, I think we're almost 50 days out. It's time to start getting the base going. But they also apologized for it.
They didn't apologize for it. They had an addendum for it.
Okay.
She apologized for the number she tacked onto it, not for what she said.
But she should have said the number's actually bigger.
Touché.
Yeah. Well, no one, that's the thing with the press, and I understand that obviously the stuff that gets heat is going to get more press, but literally nobody, Clinton campaign, none of the reporters that were outraged by this, no one actually looked at it like, hey, you know, if only there was polling done to see how many Trump supporters are racist or homophobic or xenophobic or Islamophobic. And there is that.
There is that. And it's not completely fair. You can't say no one in the press or no one even in the major press. It's just that this was a blanket statement, and there's been many stories about here are the sexist amount of followers and here's the percentage of that and here's the racist amount of followers and here's the percentage of that. So I disagree with that statement because no one cares. No one's going to watch the news and every day hear about, at least one-fifth of your family is a bigot. No one wants to hear that, even if it's true.
Right.
So
white fragility is a big thing. It exists.
I'm not saying it's just white. We could be racist, sexist, and homophobic across the entire cultural spectrum. What I'm saying is it was intentional, is what I'm trying to get at.
What does she get from it?
Not talking about emails.
Okay, so she's just making a...
And highlighting racism and bigotry and sexism, and that's smart. And yeah. It's great. And yes, she isolated a lot of people that were never going to vote for.
No, yeah, and that's clear. Anyone who's like, wait, that might be me, is clearly not in the Clinton camp. It's a bad story. But yeah, if you want a different bad story, then yes, that works.
It's a much better bad story.
And this is something that's come up, is the fact that the issue with the false equivalencies is there's been only two basic Clinton stories, and it's the foundation, it's the emails. And so the press, if they spend an equal amount of time on the candidates, they're going to put more on that. Trump has a new one every, he'll have one by the 7 o'clock hour.
It's
so
great.
There's not enough bandwidth. So anyway, whether or not it was intentional on the Clinton campaign, which it could very well be, you know, the rope-a-dope part of this is happening where the right is kind of taking it, and making their own story out of it, making memes out of it.
So we don't even have to stretch for a wrestling analogy. There is a wrestler involved in the second part of the story.
Yes, and that would be in David Duke turning deplorables into an or at least retweeting. I don't think he was photoshopping, tweeting the Expendables into the deplorables and putting in a different cast of characters, one of which was Hulk Hogan.
And the fact that, do you know who he replaced on the original poster?
Stone Cold?
Stone Cold Steve Austin. So there's two levels of wrestling connection to this.
That's good. Unfortunately, that's not the one that Donald Trump Jr. retweeted.
Yeah.
But it's still an alt-right meme, and Donald Trump Jr. is going to keep doing stuff like that, as we'll see later in the podcast. The wrestling analog here, I think it's a lot of fun. Not doesn't chart exactly, but reminds me of 97 when you had the first incarnation of Shawn Michaels Triple H, which would come to be known as D-Generation X, actually taking the name of Degenerates from their opponent, Bret Hart. And here's what Bret Hart said about them.
Shawn Michaels, you're nothing but a degenerate. And I think I know, as the rest of the Hart Foundation knows, what the HHH stands for in HBK. You're nothing but a homo. And that guy there in the green shirt is nothing but a homo. Oh, I'm no queer.
Yeah, so that's not politically correct at all. But it was, they did eventually become D-Generation X, one of the more popular stables of all time, and they took an insult and turned it into a badge of honor. And that's what we're seeing from the right with the deplorables.
It's not the worst thing. It's good for both sides in a weird, weird way.
Yeah. I mean, the people who wanted to be the heels. I mean, DX started as heels, and that's how you do it. Another great heel. We had to go to a flashback. As we talked a lot about last week, over the weekend, commemorated the 15th anniversary of 9/11. And there was an opportunity for the press to kind of dig up what Trump was doing on 9/11. And here's what he said when he called into the TV station on 9/11/2001.
Well, the building was in flames.
Did you have any damage, or did you know what's happened down there?
Well, it was an amazing phone call I made. 40 Wall Street actually was the second tallest building in downtown Manhattan, and it was actually, before the World Trade Center, was the tallest. And then when they built the World Trade Center, it became known as the second tallest, and now it's the tallest.
Yeah, it's just great heel work. I mean, you know, there's like no words.
It's
you can't
so great.
Get outraged at this. I think I sent it to you as soon as I saw it, going like, this
is the
freaking
best
guy.
Come on.
And, you know, and
I know I've said this before, and I'm going to keep repeating it, because to me, it's the moment of the election, and it's the moment in wrestling where everything got thrown out the window, and it's not talked about enough. Donald Trump went against the Pope and won.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon went against God and won. If they can go against God, nothing is sacred. Literally nothing is sacred. While a building is burning down, there's one guy talking about his building. The wrestling equivalent of this, do you have one? It's so obvious to me.
We'll go for it.
Yeah, what the McMahon's response to 9/11 was.
Oh, okay, yeah, I had the slur, yeah.
SmackDown was the first television program / sporting event back on air.
Right.
After the horrific attacks on September 11th that made one building taller than the other buildings. So, what was the WWF's... F's or E's?
E.
WWE's response? A very heartfelt, warm intro, and then a message from Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah. Because basically steroid charges are 9/11.
Speaking of 9/11.
Yeah, so...
2016.
No buildings fell. Pretty sure we can report that. Hillary Rodham Clinton. I don't know why.
Hillrod. As she is known in WWE
HRC,
terms.
Not Triple H, but HRC, at a 9/11 memorial, fainted, fell ill. Turns out that she's been battling with pneumonia, but didn't really want to tell anybody, because this is a reflexive thing of the Clintons, of like, when there's a problem, like, they don't want to give any... You can't admit a mistake or admit a problem because you know what the vast right-wing conspiracy will do.
And I understand both sides.
Yeah.
And every side is right and wrong at the exact same time.
Yeah. And get well soon, Secretary Clinton. Just, your country needs you. You know, this is everybody... This was the second big story after the deplorables was the pneumonia thing. So big that people were even working into their promos on SmackDown Live. Dolph Ziggler... Rand Paul and possibly Gary Johnson supporter also worked it in. And, you know, he told The Miz, like, I don't want any excuse. You know,
friend of the show, Dolph Ziggler.
You know, and we'll get to what happened at Backlash, but Dolph lost with some shady heel manager stuff. And he wants a rematch with no shenanigans, no excuses, no pneumonia. Was it in his, he's always doing this topical shit in his promos, which who is that for? Is that just for us?
You know what it is. He's a legit stand-up. He thinks he's a real funny man.
He's improving.
Yes, that's what he thinks he's doing.
Yeah. He should be trying to improve his
oh,
promos.
Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
So while Hillary is dealing with pneumonia, literally dealing with it, Trump has still not released any of his medical stuff other than a letter from the quack. So
hey, take that back. He is a legit doctor.
Definitely a legit doctor. Another definitely legit doctor is Dr. Oz, and Trump went on the Dr. Oz show to share his medical, some more medical stuff in what the press release called a no-holds-barred conversation. it turns out all holds were barred because he said nothing, but I don't know what anybody expected.
I wonder what the backlash is going to be on that one.
Oh, now you're doing the backlash puns. Okay,
yeah,
great.
I just did it.
Yeah. And with our wrestling analog, we don't have to go that far because... the CEO and chairman, Vince McMahon, tore a quad while doing squats at 71 with a big weight.
So what you're saying is people at 70 or around 70 years of age tend to fall ill more often than people not 70?
Well, I mean, Vince was doing exercise. Donald Trump's exercise, which he said
don't
is,
make fun.
Is moving his hands around.
He's a cool dude. He's my guy.
He does body weight, all right? Which he has considerable amount of. But Vince... You know, it was not a backlash, was not at Raw, and he had surgery on his quad, but he kept it quiet before the announcement late Monday. So, you know, maybe he's more like, maybe Hillary's a little more like Vince than we thought.
Yeah.
So while he's recovering, Stephanie McMahon is the public face, as she generally is anyway, but she's doing press. She's got a book coming out next year. It's a big month for Connor's Cure, which is their pediatric cancer research initiative. And she's, you know... She's not making any negative headlines. It's all positive stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the 9/11 steroid trial stuff, she learned from. And she's now a much better public steward of the company. Her analog in the Trump organization family...
is clearly
Ivanka. Ivanka doesn't have as much of this. This has been a lot of, like, on-the-ground training.
Absolutely.
I think.
And for the first... I want to say the first time in this campaign, she came off as not so great.
Yeah, so she walked out of a interview with Bastions of Journalistic Integrity and Hard-Hitting Questions, Cosmopolitan.
Don't make fun of Cosmo. No joke. If it wasn't for Cosmo, women wouldn't feel like shit about their bodies at all times. So it's pretty great that Cosmo exists.
I'm glad you came around on the heel Cosmo side there.
Fuck Cosmo. That being said,
Cosmo.
Here's
what they asked. You know, in an interview, 2004, Donald Trump said the pregnancy is an inconvenient thing for a business. It's surprising to see this policy from him today. It's a new maternity leave policy or whatever that she's out pimping. Can you talk a little bit about those comments and perhaps what has changed? And Ivanka's response was, so I think that you have a lot of negativity in these questions. And I think my father's put forth a very comprehensive blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. She says, I don't know how useful it is to spend too much time with you on this if you're going to make a comment like that. And she ended the interview like two questions later.
It's pretty cool. The wrestling analog of this is every interview Vince McMahon has done that's been real.
Does he walk?
He doesn't walk away, but if you watch that Bob Costas one, it just looks like he's going to murder Bob Costas.
He could.
Well, he is a ripped dude. Yeah. He doesn't get pink eye and then call the Olympics. He just makes people kiss his ass.
Or maybe it would be the David Schultz interview with the guy that he slapped in the head.
Or it could be Hulk Hogan with Richard, not Greco, shit, what's his name? From
Belzer.
Belzer, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is wrestling fake? Ask these 80s wrestlers who were hopped up on steroids and cocaine and see what happens.
Yeah, so this is very, very common in wrestling. Not so common on the campaign trail, at least for the women. Those Ivanka and Chelsea are friends.
Right.
And they've talked about how they're going to be... They were friends before this, and they're going to be friends after this.
Because it's all work.
Because it's all fucking work! Wake up, sheeple! But they've been the stewards of positivity, for, and they understand the power of positivity. Much more so than their parents, because they kind of grew up with, hey, my dad's a piece of shit, or hey, my dad and my mom is a piece of shit. Like, yeah. they get it more so than everybody else did. So to see flaws in the armor for Ivanka is really interesting.
Yeah. You know, and as we see what her backlash is.
Fuck you.
Listen, I had no other transition. So, as we said, backlash.
You
did
kind of said, what's the next roadblock to...
No, I'm saving that for doing this in December. So, backlash was on Sunday on 9-12, and, or 9-11, excuse me, 9-12. I had a complicated week with wrestling. I saw some wrestling on 9-12 as well. But at the before the event, they had a little interview with the tag team we've been following very closely, Heath Slater, the hottest free agent in the game, and... Rhino running for Michigan State rep. Rhino had a Vote for Rhino shirt on. You can buy that shirt. So Rhino is spelt in the WWE W-H-Y-N-O.
No.
W-H-R. What'd I say? Yeah. I don't know how to spell.
Not like a drunk, but like an animal.
I don't know the difference between letters. R-H-Y-N-O.
Is the what version?
Is the WWE version.
Correct.
And R-H-I-N-O.
Like the animal.
Is the Pro Wrestling Tees version where you can actually get this shirt. So they just mocked up a shirt for him to kind of tag into this. But as we were talking about this, it came up. I don't know how I didn't think of this, but the term Rhino, all caps, R-I-N-O, is a Republican in name only, and it's a slur used against Republicans, and there is the Dino as well. Yeah, I actually
a good example of this would be Donald Trump before this election, when he entered the election, and considering that he mostly donated, well, he donated across the board, but he's been a fervent supporter of Planned Parenthood, doesn't give a fuck about states' rights, really is doing this for no other reason than because he was definitely Republican in name only.
Right.
Since then, things have changed a little bit, but that's a very clear example of Republican in name only. Kudos. Thank you to the people that let us know we were screwing that up. I'd like to point out, none of them are wrestling fans.
Right.
So thank you for that. That being said, I went back and found an old Rhino interview with Tommy Dreamer.
Okay.
Rhino is not a Republican in name only. Rhino has a framed photo of George W. Bush in his house, in like as you walk in, and of Richard Nixon when you walk in. So he is not a Republican in name only.
Yes. Well, that's a Rhino.
That is
people of Michigan's 15th. Next to those portraits. He now has a SmackDown Tag Championship.
Good for Rhino.
And Heath Slater. And Heath Slater, they gave him the belt. They actually signed a contract on Tuesday.
Which you didn't think was going to happen.
You know, it started to look that way. But I was thinking you could continue the story going. But now we're on the beating this into a dead, beating the dead horse phase, where we will now be very sick of Heath Slater and Rhino, just in time for Rhino maybe to take elected office in 50 days.
So... What I love about this is the shirt that Heath Slater is wearing. This does not really have a political analog other than he would almost maybe be in the basket full of deplorables if he spoke like a cartoon character. The gimmick for this wrestler is he's got 7 kids and or more and or less.
It said it. I don't know if you saw on SmackDown on his stats, like champion, 7 kids, parentheses that he knows about. So they're doing the MSNBC correcting of the record in parentheses.
his brand new shirt in the WWE store available for sale. I got kids.
Yeah.
Did part of you wish you were a father that had more than one child just so you can get that shirt and wear it?
I might just get it, and then when I have several kids, I'll be like, don't worry, this is really funny for about 3 weeks in 2016. It was a hell of a time. No, it's not even... It's that I need this job is the front.
I thought it was I Got Kids is just the front.
Which? Oh, he I Got Kids out. Is the front, and the back is I Need This Job.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It's great.
This is like as far as wrestling shirts that non-wrestling fans could wear. You know, I mean, who doesn't need a job because they got kids? I mean, it's a lot of people with jobs and kids.
Who's going to a state fair this weekend? You need to wear your finest tee.
Get your Heath Slater tee.
Yeah, I really am enjoying this storyline. This is, to me, is the 2016 version of the New Day. This is my 2015 New Day, is Heath Slater and Rhino.
Well, the standards have fallen. I don't find it that funny, but it's fine, and I'm looking forward to heel Usos eventually taking those belts off them.
What I want to know is, when Linda McMahon ran for Senate in 2010 and 2012,
right,
they did some promos for Linda to get out the vote. But because they can't just advocate for one candidate, they had to show the opponent's stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Will this happen on SmackDown? Will this become an issue? That's a sincere question.
I know it is, and I think literally nobody is paying attention, but we should call the Michigan version of the FEC.
Yeah.
Because, like, hey, are you guys aware of this?
I don't think anyone is paying attention to this.
Yeah.
And house like races are small enough.
State house races
are small enough where even 50 people that didn't know Rhino was running and vote for Rhino could change the course of the election
and of history in Michigan.
This is not that's not crazy.
I know, but much like this, you know, most people have been content to write, "Aha, Donald Trump he's been in wrestling," and then stop the story there. And you know,
I know.
Haven't.
All right.
So, you know, at Backlash, the new champs all around. AJ Styles won the WWE Championship. Becky won the Women's SmackDown Women's. But, you know, I think the match of the night was probably the Dolphin Miz one. I think it was just a kind of a great match. This is a shoot. I think it was a good match. I just, as far as like a classic, it worked on a bunch of levels. You got Miz kind of, Dolph is there as a analog or whatever for
conduit,
for Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Miz to mock and do Daniel Bryan's moves is a classic heel thing. Just the pacing of the match, everything was really great. They both look like $1 million.
It also helps that these are guys that have fought against each other in this exact position.
For this belt,
three different pay-per-views.
And, like, hundreds of times.
They've
fought
hundreds of times. And most recently, that might have gotten some, like, non-wrestling coverages as Colonel Sanders and as a chicken.
Yeah.
So,
KFC chicken.
Yeah. We're not making that up. But we should talk about how the match began.
Yes. So this was on Sunday, on 9/11, and the match began with a double leg takedown, some punches to the head, and a rear naked choke. And if you were watching less scripted fighting on Saturday, you would have seen the Mickey Gall CM Punk fight start with a double leg takedown, mounted punches, and a rear naked choke in a match that ended in 2 minutes and 14 seconds. CM Punk didn't die, beat up pretty badly.
Okay, so this is technically a bipartisan bipartisan show,
yeah.
Correct? I am a Chicago guy. I think I talk about that every 10 minutes.
Yes.
Legally, I have to. You're a CM Punk fan.
Yes.
We are in the corner of CM Punk. We like CM Punk.
Yeah.
We did not want to see him die.
No, I don't want a man to die.
We also thought this was going to happen because we've seen more than a fight.
Yeah. 37-year-old with a year chasing his dream that he's had for a year and a half of being a UFC fighter. It kind of reminded me, to go out of our little world of wrestling and politics here, but it reminds me of Homer when he's like, "Oh, that's my dream." And she's like, "No, your dream was to finish that sandwich." Like, he has a new, like, CM Punk's dream forever was to headline WrestleMania, but now he can't do that. So he's like, "No, my dream my whole time has been to UFC." He's a liar.
the analogy that most every sports writers come up with, which I think is more than fair, is Jordan baseball. It also helps that it's in Chicago.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
So before we go any further with the WWE mocking CM Punk, is at the end of the day, the only people that are making money are supporters of the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
Let's conspiracy theory the shit out of this. Okay, so
I'll let you do that.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty fun. January 2014, the Royal Rumble. It's in the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland. CM Punk loses. Vince McMahon makes a shitload of money. I was at the Quicken Loans Arena in July for the Republican National Convention. Donald Trump didn't necessarily make a shitload of money yet, but Dana White was there. September 10th at the Quicken Loans Arena, CM Punk fights, and Dana White makes a shitload of money. At the end of the day, it's just three rich GOP supporters making a shitload of money in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, and the asterisk on that is that Punk also... He made $500,000, Not a bad
payday.
Most people have been in fights, maybe on the losing side, maybe not against a trained MMA fighter, but for 2 minutes and 14 seconds, that's a pretty good hourly rate there. But it is like the Chris Rock, like the wealthy versus rich. Like, Punk is rich, but Dana White is wealthy. But yeah, a lot of people, you know, I think UFC fans generally were like, we want to see this guy, this fake wrestler, this fake fighter, get his ass kicked, and they got what they wanted. A lot of wrestling fans, a lot of more Mark or Smark, even guys who were pissed at Punk for leaving a dysfunctional company, also wanted him to get his comeuppance. But you know, at the end of the day, he got to do what he wanted. He said in the press conference after, you know, like, he just wanted to do MMA and do smaller fights. But when UFC comes calling and goes, here's this money to train and half a million thing, he's like, he'd be stupid not to take it.
So here's the thing. I wanted to ask you about this because you probably paid a little bit more attention than I. He got paid $500,000 just for that fight. Is that correct? That does not include the mini reality series that UFC did on him.
There's
There's
always other money floating around that's not reported.
And then there's also the pay-per-view buys that will get paid out over probably the quarter or something like that.
Yeah, there's other bonuses. There's other stuff. They have to report something, but there's clearly more money
and then
at stake here.
Punk has been at least in one UFC video game. Is that correct?
I guess this new one that just came out, yeah.
Yeah.
The likeness rights.
So I think, is it fair to say Punk made maybe at the end of the day $750,000?
Maybe a million, you know what I mean?
Maybe a million?
I think, depending on how it all shakes out.
Let's take away half for taxes, we're back to $500,000. Yeah. Now let's pay some trainers over the course of 18 months and some surgeons. He probably went home net in the black, like $100,000.
No.
Good for him.
Right.
That's it.
This is, I never understand, like, with athletes or sports entertainers, like, you know, they're just doing a job. Like, let them get paid.
Yeah.
It's a very small window. Even if you're not 37, it's a very small window as an MMA fighter.
So kudos to CM Punk.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, they put him on the card. 203 had a heavyweight championship as well. But that wasn't going to sell pay-per-views by itself. It's just like any wrestling card that's put some sort of oddity, some sort of, like, attraction. It's an old carny trick. I mean, people bought the card for CM Punk to lose in 2 minutes.
People bought WrestleMania 1 because of Muhammad Ali. People bought WrestleMania 14 because of Mike Tyson. Those guys didn't fight. People bought WrestleMania 23 because Donald Trump shaved someone's head.
Yeah.
That's how this works. We care about the freak show.
It's a freak show, man. You know, and it's funny because the Punk thing and the issues around him and since, you know, and there's a bigger thing here. It's not right for this podcast, but just the fact that Punk is kind of like, he was the trailblazer and he opened the door and then everyone else walked through it. I mean, AJ Styles is not your world heavyweight champion. Even Dean Ambrose, from doing death matches in Philly.
Or Kevin Owens
on, or, you know, Nakamura or whatever. That doesn't happen without CM Punk. The only guy before them who came in, used the name he had, used the gimmick he had, did all this stuff, you know, without that. So, but a lot of the stuff, the reasons he left, a lot of the issues he brought up where, you know, these smarky fans or whatever are like, oh, he's a quitter, he shouldn't have quit because WWE is so great. He's not the only one that's bringing up these issues. So a guy that he is not friends with, who actually said some kind of like, not complimentary, but he didn't take a shot at him after the fight, but it was Ryback, a guy who left the WWE this year, who Punk says, you know, injured him because he's either dumb or negligent or whatever.
He also had a reputation for working stiff, and in wrestling terms, that means not realizing that it's fake.
Yeah, pull the punch.
An easy way to remember about working stiff is handshakes. Wrestlers' handshakes are incredibly soft intentionally. If you shake John Cena's hand, it'll be like shaking a baby's hand because the whole point is, I'm not going to crush you. I'm going to take care of you. That's why they have such gentle handshakes.
Right.
So if you think of stiff is bad, gentle is good.
Yeah, and Ryback left. You know, he came in, he's a big... His name is Ryan Reeves, or it was, but it was the gimmick he had was that he was a silverback. Ryan and Silverback Ryback, and he's a big, I'm not going to say steroidal, but he's a juiced, he's
he
on
looks
something.
Like the stereotype of a kid drawing a wrestler as an action figure.
Sure, that's
he looks
accurate.
Like steroids personified in 2016.
It's unfortunate for him, but you know, and he was a guy he was main eventing, he was doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden he's on the pre-show pay-per-view after pay-per-view, and the stuff he says is basically they told him, you know, you work really hard, but sometimes that doesn't get you ahead here. And it's for a guy who's like legit believes in the secret. Like, that's not exactly what he wants to hear.
Yeah.
So he's actually had a lot of the same issues. And he also has some of the same issues other people who have gone against the WWE. He has now changed his name, or is in the process of actually changing his shoot name to Ryback, so he can use that on the indies.
Most famously done by Warrior.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Warrior was the heir apparent to Hulk Hogan. At WrestleMania 6, they gave him the big gold belt. Or, I'm sorry, that's, I apologize, no. That's WCW, yeah. They just gave him the belt. They gave him the belt. By WrestleMania 7, I think he was gone.
Yeah.
He was in Royal Rumble 9 that year.
He's out,
he was gone.
He's not there.
He was there for roughly 18 months at the top of the card. He did not last very long because he was very upset with Vince McMahon. He threatened to not show up. I want to see a Royal Rumble, or was it Survivor Series? It doesn't matter. It's one of those. And that's not good for business. So he didn't like that. A few years later, he went to WCW. In the interim, he did some wrestling matches, indies, and he legally changed his name to Warrior.
From Jim Hellwig to Warrior.
To Warrior. So his children are named... fucking
Dana Warrior.
Dana Warrior is his wife. Well, that's like kind of funny and cute.
Yeah.
The Warrior in real life was a bigot, yeah, and actually spoke at my college when I was there. I didn't realize it was still the Warrior. I was like, that guy must be dead. He was not. Yeah. Instead, he was saying horrible things about gay people because, you know, wrestling. So he legally changed his name to Warrior, released a comic book under that name, Warrior, finally made amends with the Warrior, and died the next day.
Yeah.
He was in the WWE Hall of Fame. He was on Raw the next night. It was touching. I actually remember watching it live. I had cable for some weird moment. And my wife actually remembered, like, oh, that's the guy that was a conspiracy theory homophobic dude that you really liked as a kid. I was like, yep, that's the one. And he died the next day because cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, rest in peace, but not really, Warrior. And the thing with the name thing, too, is interesting because you have Ryback, who's now on the indies. Indies, you know, not going to be making a ton, but, he, the difference between going as Ryback versus the big guy is apparently enough that he's willing to use his name. CM Punk's name is not CM Punk, turns out. It's Phil Brooks, and he was able to use that because that's the name that people want to pay for.
Yeah, Punk is also not an idiot and came out to his old wrestling theme song. CM Punk is also not an idiot because his old wrestling theme song wasn't a wrestling theme song. Do you know the story of this? Did you tell me this or did I just read about it?
You might have read about it.
How he got the song he used. Okay, so CM Punk's song is Living Color's Cult of Personality, one of the greatest songs of the 80s, one of the most important songs by a black metal, by a band whose all members happen to be black.
Yeah.
Of all time. It's amazing.
It's not a black metal
song. Yeah, it's not a black metal song at all. It's a metal song, and all the musicians happen to be black.
Yeah.
It's a great song. That song was used for, like, a Hall of Fame thing for, like, Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So when Punk's new song was going to come, they needed a new song. So they got this one, which is a song that just exists and is awesome. The WWE just doesn't own that song.
Right.
So he's able to use that song at UFC or any other one of his appearances because he's not a fucking idiot.
He's a mark for himself in a lot of ways, but in some ways
good
he's
for
been very
him.
Smart about it. Yeah.
And so he teased a long, long time that... Hold on. You're fine. It doesn't matter. He teased for a long time that he wasn't going to reveal in the Quick and Loans arena what his name was going to be for a long time. Wasn't going to reveal what his theme song was going to be.
Right.
This is exactly what Donald Trump did in the Quick and Loans arena. No one knew what to expect.
Yeah.
And sort of like CM Punk's fight, it was a big letdown.
It was everything you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But this name thing is not going away, especially in an era where a lot of guys are, much like CM Punk opened the door for a lot of guys, he opened the exit door for a lot of guys too. I mean, Cody Rhodes, son of Dusty Rhodes, also left the company this year. Never really kind of... achieved his potential at WWE. He's doing gangbusters on the indies now, but there's an issue because he's going by Cody Rhodes, not his name, Cody Runnels, except the character of Dusty Rhodes precedes the WWE, and he uses that as his name. There's allegedly some negotiations going on. If he goes on TV, if he goes on TNA or something, he's going to have to figure out some other last name, but he left on good enough terms that they might actually work it out, and it's not like TNA is going to... Cody Rhodes going to TNA is not going to write that ship.
So the moral of the story is, long story short, the WWE is really good with trademarks.
Yes.
I found this out this week at an event I went to at the Economic Policy Center. Donald Trump trademarked the phrase, "Make America Great Again," the day after the 2012 election.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get in the ground floor of his building that's now the tallest building. So whether Cody Rhodes does the indies or runs for your Texas Senate or State Senate, as he's hinted at, or if he goes to TNA, there you could also be watching TNA for the Hardy Brothers, the Hardy Boys with a Z. Have we talked about this? I think we've talked about
it. We alluded to the Final Deletion.
So the Final Deletion is... that's the new day of this year. It's just this ridiculous
angle.
So, I mean, it's... look, just YouTube it. It's very tough to explain. But they've now done... The second part of it, Deleter Decay, where they're fighting basically Juggalos.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, that makes sense.
Juggalos are trying to steal his baby. And they had have a fight in a field. And then... light stuff on fire.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah. There's literally no political analog to this, but it's just
No. It's Gary Johnson's entire campaign. He just happens to be there. He says some crazy shit that makes people laugh, but no one really takes it seriously. Yeah. At one point, the Hardy Brothers were part of WrestleMania. At one point, Gary Johnson was a big deal, and now it's just like, what's Aleppo?
Yeah.
And the wrestling analog to that is Matt Hardy introducing a giraffe as the first president of the United States, George Washington.
Yeah, Deleter Decay, director's cut, just YouTube it. We're not going to be able to do it justice or to put enough clips to make sense of it. So but while you're watching Deleter Decay or TNA, I'm going to be, later today when this goes up, at Nova Pro Wrestling. That's an independent wrestling in Northern Virginia. They're having their first anniversary show, and it's going to culminate the feud they've been running for a whole year with a cage match at the Fairfax Jewish Community Center. Because wrestling doesn't really get optics, and they don't see why putting a cage in a JCC is a bad idea. Which, much like the Donald Trump Jr. retweet of an alt-right meme, he doesn't really get why you shouldn't bring up things that can be allusions to the Holocaust either.
And the media has been her number one surrogate in this. Without the media, this wouldn't even be a contest. But the media has built her up. They've let her slide on every indiscrepancy, on every lie, on every DNC game trying to get Bernie Sanders out of the thing. I mean, if Republicans were doing that, they'd be warming up the gas chamber right now.